Kaamua Kaamuri, Walking Backwards into the Future, speaking of time, is the name of an exhibition of artwork by Beverly Rhodes. It's on at the Toy Gallery at the Pātaka Gallery and Museum in Porirua, up the road from Wellington. It is, on the face of it, a series of photographs that have been painted. I don't know if painted over or whether a painting is based very much on the original photograph. But it's more than that. And here to tell us more about it is the artist behind it, Beverly Rhodes. Tēnā koe, Beverly.
Kia ora, Brian.
Lovely to have you on. Now, I guess the first thing I wanted to ask you about is the strong connection to the tangata whenua of Aotearoa, New Zealand, in this exhibition, in which you yourself are part of, but you didn't know that until you were not much younger than I am now.
That's true. I didn't, because it's through my father, and my father left when I was about five. And it was only when I was at university studying sociology of the family, and I had to do a family history and research, and it took me to the Hocken Library and various other places, and I discovered these wondrous things, secrets, really.
How did you feel when you... Well, actually, first, what was your relationship with your father? Did you not know him at all?
No, I remember him, because I'm the oldest in the family, and I remember him, have memories, scattered memories of him. But no, when he left, we've never seen him again.
You don't know what happened to your father?
No. Some vague photos. One turned up when he was in Australia with his sister. And then a suitcase turned up when I was about 9, I think, or 10. And it was his, but it didn't have much in it other than a jersey and some book of some sort about radio communications. So that's it.
So when you went to the library during your studies, what was your response when you found out a bit more about your dad's family?
Well, I did know his sister, but no one spoke of it at all. And when I told my auntie, who his sister, she was lovely, she said, your father would not like you going into this. So that was all that was said, and this was when I was about nearly 50. Anyway, I went to the Hocken Library, and I found a photograph of my great-grandfather, Richard Burns, or Ricky Pana. I should include my sisters in this, our great-grandfather. And I just burst into tears because his eyes, I have got quite droopy eyelids, and there they were.
Yes. There they are. I'm looking at this image right now.
Yeah.
So when was that photograph taken?
The late 1800s. Oh, he didn't die till 1945, and he was 98.
Mm. And there's a photograph also in the exhibition of him age 90, right?
Yes, that's the one of him 90, and the one of him age 12. But they're not. They're paintings of the photographs. With my version of the photographs. I managed to get photographs out of the paper that are needed in paper, and none of them are from the Hocken Library. Those are from the newspaper or from the Portobello Museum. I went and researched there as well and got a lot of family photos.
I should ask you, Beverly, more about the artistic process. So because when I look at the images, and as you might have heard me say, they reminded me of something we used to get quite a lot of back in the days of black and white photos, and that was somebody would come along and colourise it.
Yes.
And I was remembering my grandmother's picture of my father that used to hang in her pensioner flat, which had been colourised. It was a black and white original. It was him in his army or Air Force uniform before he went off to serve in the Second World War. But you didn't quite do that. You did something sort of similar but different.
Yes, I have had colour. All these photographs that I've worked from were black and white. except the one of the smiling girl, because that was a colorized one, a photograph of my sister and myself, and then there was one of me, which I used for that. And so I just tried to create the atmosphere of the 40s and 50s, the colors, and people who are my age would know what I'm talking about. It was post-war, of course, and there wasn't that much color about. It's not that I remember, I could be wrong. And one color I remember was Nolmo green. The kitchens were, my mother's kitchen was painted Nolmo green.
Nolmo.
I don't know why I remember that.
Nolmo. doesn't sound particularly inspiring. It sounds very emulsified New Zealand 1950s culture.
Yes, but and so I tried to create the feeling of the 40s and 50s with the colors, and subdued them, grayed them down, I guess. So that was an atmosphere I was trying to create. I hope I've created that feeling, and I think I have with the works.
You may not be able to put this into words, and I don't even know if I can put the question into words sufficiently, but why you decided to reproduce the photographs the way you have, and the difference between the original and what you created, and there's something unspoken. I'm going to say, no, I won't. Well, I will say, because it's on the tip of my tongue, magical about what you've done that's transformed them in a subtle way. Can you explain that?
Not really, no.
No.
I work fairly instinctually with colours and things, and I just go with it, really. I like lots of space. I don't like too much in a painting when I do it. So I like space in the background. So I've got the grey background, soft grey background. And some of them I've changed the colours in the background because it didn't create the feel I wanted. And like the girl, the wallflower, she's had many different coloured backgrounds. And for some reason, the pink jumped out at me to do, which is a more modern colour, of course. Except, I guess, for those colours around the 50s when the boys wore the socks, lime green and bright blue and orange and their ties to match. Do you remember that? Well, you won't because you're young.
I'm younger. Younger.
Yeah. Yes. So that's the only bright colour really in the whole series, I think, thinking of it.
I'm looking at the one now. Is this your father? It's entitled Dad the Likely Lad.
Yes, that's him before he was married. I'm trying to give an impression of a likely lad, you know, young man.
Now, in this image, he is almost, now it, this the reproduction may not be doing this justice, but it gets a sense of him being walking out of a fog. Now, I'm guessing that the original photograph, there would have been a background there, which you've chosen to leave out.
Yes, in the background, interestingly, was the time ball in Littleton, because his father, my grandfather, who's at the races there with Nana, he was the signalman at the time ball for some years, and that was taken on the top of the time ball. So behind him actually was the wall of the time ball, and then in the distance were the hills of Littleton Harbour. So, and I think my uncle was with him, so I took him out of that and put him there to create that feeling I wanted.
Why did you decide to leave out the backgrounds on the whole?
I think mainly because I wanted, it was more the feeling I wanted, the emotional, and it would have been distracting. I wanted the viewer just to look at him, to see him as he is, a man of that time. And I think that a lot of people would look at that photo, I could be wrong, and say, oh, Uncle Fred looked like that, or that could be my father or my grandfather.
Yes, most definitely.
Yeah, so that was part of it. And as I say, I like a lot of space around things in my work.
Getting back to your ancestry and your discovery, now you talked about, was it your aunt saying, your father wouldn't want you to do this, to find out more about him. Well, what was your response to that?
Well, I usually keep my responses to myself, and I just thought, that is Well, they were of that era, I think, where you, it wasn't quite the thing to admit to having Maori ancestry at that time. And I guess, at least that was my what I assumed. I could be quite wrong. And so it was quite hidden. I mean, if it hadn't been hidden, I would have known. But no one spoke of it. So I'm not sure.
What do you know then, sorry, Beverly,
of
Richard Burns, who's your, what, great-great-grandfather?
He's my great-grandfather, this one here, yes. I know that he is the son of a whaler, Scottish whaler, Richard Burns, and he was a whaler himself for a while. And he was born, I think, at Moiraki, and his mother was named Pukio Iwa Tairoroa, and she married Richard Burns, and she had quite a large family. So in putting my ancestry up, I'm putting up the ancestry of many other people who I don't know, and I hope they're not offended by that. So there's quite a lot of Burnses were down in that area at Moiraki. And I know that he then became a farmer, and he lived on the peninsula in Portobello, and he's buried at Portobello, along with his wife, who was Sylvia and Harwood. And the Harwood were a well-known family on the peninsula as well, in Dunedin.
Have you been to Moiraki and to the peninsula?
Yes, I have. I've been to Portobello Cemetery, where they're buried, and Sylvia Ann's parents are buried there as well. And yes, so that was quite an emotional experience as well, going there. And I've been to Moiraki, and I belong to a group of artists called Paimanu, who are Ngāi Tahu or Kaitahu artists. And we have been to, we have stayed in Moiraki as a group. And it's wonderful having that connection with that group of artists, some of them who are very well known. And it's just great to have that contact. And I'll put a wee plug in. We're having a big exhibition down at Dunedin Art Gallery at the end of the year, Paimanu. And I've just forgotten the dates, but anyway, it'll be the beginning of December.
That's enough. People can Google from that,
yeah,
that information.
Yeah.
Did you meet some of your cousins?
I haven't met many at all. This is the interesting thing. I haven't. And it's I knew my father's sister and his family, and her family, those cousins, but he had brothers and a sister in Australia, and I have never met those cousins. It's rather strange, isn't it, that we've never made contact. Oh, I've met one cousin from Australia, that's right, she came over in latter years, I met her. But that's, I should say that our family, my mother's family, who are quite dominant in this work, are of Scottish ancestry. So there's a very strong Scottish ancestry on both sides.
I'm just thinking about the fact that when you saw that picture of young Ricky Pana, Richard Burns, age 12, that the sight of that made you burst into tears, which just suggests to me that there's whatever is you don't know, it's still a strong, there's something strong about that lack of knowledge, powerful within you.
Yes, yes, it's hard to put into words.
Well, that's
really
why we create art, isn't it?
Yes. Well, this, I guess, in a way, this exhibition is a bit like if I was a writer, which I'm not, it would be like a biography, but also there's a heck of a lot left out. This is only a sliver of it, and you can't put everything, and as it is, I feel fairly exposed, and I'm exposing my sisters in this as well, in this exhibition, so it was quite a funny feeling. When you asked me to talk on the radio, I thought, oh, really, I would like to sort of fly below the radar on this one.
But you're an artist, you know. And I know. Some of these works you're hoping to sell, and good on you. So there you go. You've got to sometimes do a little bit of publicity.
That's true.
You know, that's part of the game. Sorry to be so cynical. I'm not being cynical, really. I'm just being a realist, I think. Now, I've found another one of these images which has some background, and I'm intrigued as to why you decided to leave this in. Corrugated iron and hollyhocks. Members of your family, I'm not sure who.
Yes.
But you chose to keep the hollyhock plants in the background.
Well, we lived in a... Why I've done that one, it's my father, it's me and my mother, and where we lived, we were surrounded by corrugated iron because corrugated iron was very popular in the 40s. And my mother had planted hollyhocks in front of the corrugated iron. In that particular painting, I tried to do the corrugated iron and it looked too busy for my eye.
Mm.
So I took the corrugated iron out and left the hollyhocks.
Yes, but you didn't take it out of the title, but that doesn't matter. It's the hollyhocks and their unique shape, that spindly shape that they have with their big leaves and their big busy flowers.
Yeah, so that's a very strong memory, hollyhocks. And one of my sisters said, well, what about that other plant that was there that you used to take the berries off and make ink out of? I forgot what it was called. So there were only a few plants there, but they broke up the corrugated iron look of the backyard.
It wasn't a fuchsia. I mean, a fuchsia isn't the berry, it's the flower. But I remember making ink out of fuchsia flowers.
Yeah, it was something. I don't think it was fuchsia, it was another one. They were dark blue and you get it all over your hands and they were stained. But anyway, so that's what that is, where we lived at that particular time.
What did your mother say about your father?
Well, I started looking for him. She'd say to me, have you found your father yet? And I said, no, I haven't. I couldn't find him. I got a search for him through the Salvation Army, but I couldn't find him. They couldn't find him. And she didn't say much about him, really. No. In fact, now I wish I'd asked her many, many more questions. But as a child, you just accept what your life is. Your father wasn't there, and you just accept it. Now, of course, I want to know more.
Do you know where he died?
No, I tried. Have no idea. No idea. You see, that's sort of and I guess that's been a bit of a driving force is that space that's still there, that's not filled, where the questions. But I should say that my name was Burns until the age of 12, and then my mother remarried. So there's a whole section of my life that's not in there. And I had my stepfather was a really nice guy, really lovely and popular, and our life changed after that. But there's still a gap. And I haven't talked much to my sisters about that, but I'm sure they feel the same thing. I mean, you get on with your life, don't you? And
yes,
it's just part of who you are.
Do you hope that maybe through the exhibition you might meet some more Burns who might have some other parts of the story?
Yes. Well, I could do. I think a lot of them are in the South Island, though. You know, down south, they'll be down south, or their names may not be Burns, but they'll be quite close relatives. And yes, it would be good. It'd be good if I did.
I wanted to finish, Beverly, with one image that does have a background, does have a landscape in it, a seascape even, and that's the Toroa over Whakaraupo.
Yes.
The albatross over Littleton. Now, what's the significance of this and of something that's not human and a landscape? You put it there. We know we've got a bearing here that we don't have in the other pictures.
No, well, that's really the idea. It's an albatross flying over Littleton Harbour, and, of course, the belief is that you fly north, your spirit flies north, and eventually to Hawaii. And so that's my future, because it's all our futures. We're all finally going to be a spirit, aren't we? And so that's the real future part for me.
Do you think you'll meet your father in the spirit world?
I have no idea. I have no idea. But I dreamt of him once, and he was talking to me in a language I didn't understand. So I don't know what that means, but maybe I will. Maybe I will. And maybe me and my sisters will meet him. It would be interesting, wouldn't it?
Beverly, it's been lovely talking with you.
And nice talking to you, Brian.
Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
That's Beverly Rhodes. Her exhibition is called Kamua, Kamuri, Walking Backwards into the Future. It's on at the Toy Gallery at the Pataka Museum in Parirua. It is a selection of photographs, old family photographs on the whole, that she's then repainted in a quite realistic style, but not entirely realistic. And therein lies the magic, listeners.